Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, sponsored by WebSpy.
Hi Martin, it's Al here. I was planning on sending you a comment for your 200th episode, but one thing led to another and I missed the boat on that one, so I am sorry. I got a new iPhone the other day and I thought it would be a good opportunity to use it to send you a bit more of a personal audio message to try and make up for it. Might explain the sound quality too. I'm not particularly eloquent with words, so I'll keep this one short, but having missed the opportunity to congratulate you on 200 episodes, when the next one comes out, congratulations on 201 episodes. I'd like to say a big thank you, sincerely, for all of the work that you put into the podcast. It can't be easy. I'm surprised you're not sick of it, frankly. I remember when I first started getting more serious about photography, I started listening to your shows and on the way to work whenever I could, about apertures, shutter speeds, millimeters and hyperfocal distances, and most of it went over my head. I didn't know what you were talking about, but I stuck with it and you really helped me to learn so much. That and your work that you show each week has been a huge inspiration in trying to make me become a better photographer. Your workshops too, they do sound fantastic. I think, like many of your listeners, when I finally stop buying lenses and phones and get the money together, I really look forward in coming to one of your workshops in the not too distant future. They just sound like a phenomenal experience that you just don't forget. Anyway, I'll leave it there. But yeah, thank you, Martin. All the best, and I look forward to the next 200 episodes. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Al. That was Al Palmer from the UK, a good old Blighty accent there to lead us into the show. I really appreciate the effort of putting together an audio message there, so really thanks very much, Al. And it's July 27, 2009, and this is episode 201. So thanks to everyone else that has sent congratulations messages via Twitter, Facebook, on the forum at martinbaileyphotography.com, etc. For us reaching the 200th episode last week. It's really nice to hear from all of you, and I really do appreciate all of the congratulations and good messages, well wishes and etc. that we've received over this last week. So today we're going to take a look at some shots from the Towada Lake, Towada Court, but the court just means lake, which is where I stayed on the during a recent trip to the Oidase mountain stream that we looked at last week. There are only a few images, five in total, but there's some stuff to talk about as we go through them, so I figured that I'd make a show out of it. As has become the norm, I've posted the transcript for this week's episode in the on my blog at blog.martinbaileyphotography.com, and it's got the images embedded and all of that, so you can check that out if you're interested. If you are listening with an iPhone or in iTunes, the images will change automatically, so you don't need to do that. But it's just another way of enjoying the show. Before we get into the main topic, I'd like to say a big thank you to our sponsors, WebSpy, the internet monitoring, analysis and reporting specialists. To find out more about WebSpy and their products, go to webspy.com/MBP and use the discount code MBPWSY for a 10% discount on all purchases. Now let's jump in and see what I made of the Towada Lake. While in Aomori photographing the beautiful Oidase mountain stream, I stayed in a hotel at the Towada Lake, which is about 10 to 15 minutes away by car from the road that runs along the mountain stream that we looked at last week. The Towada Lake is really beautiful when in full autumnal colour, but I was hoping that there'd be some opportunities while I was there as well. The autumnal colour's a few months away. There was a few things, as we'll see. First, let's look at a pretty dynamic sky that I captured in image number 2317. I took a walk along the shore of the lake with my wife at the end of the first day in the area before dinner at the hotel. The sun was about an hour from the horizon, but with the mountains, I knew that the sun would go down, from my perspective at least, a little earlier. And the clouds were pretty dramatic too, so I was hoping something nice would happen. There are a number of pleasure boats that take tourists out for a spin around the lake during the day, and one of them was moored up at this long concrete jetty on the other side to where the sun was. So I set up the tripod and sort of straddled the gates, not myself, the tripod, put one leg over the gates and the two on this side. These were like gates at the head of the pier. And just as I was setting up, the sun started to break through the gaps in the heavy clouds. And literally, just as I was ready to shoot, I was presented with this beautiful fan of sun rays. I wasn't quite lined up with the centre of the pier yet, as we can see by the lines, but as the whole sort of shot was never going to be totally balanced with the boat on one side, I'm not too worried about this at all, though I did correct it for the next image that we'll look at. I had planned to do some long exposures here, which I also did, but before we look at them, there's some other stuff to touch on for this image. To start with, the reason that I didn't do a long exposure here was because if I had, those sun rays would have moved and, you know, the whole sort of dramatic effect would be lost. I could have gone with a slightly slower shutter speed than I did. I used 320th of a second here. And I'd have still got the rays captured okay, but you know, any longer and they would have started to move across and sort of blur out and lose the effect. And I also wanted to leave some texture in the water. There's a, you know, that big dramatic sky has a lot of texture, so to balance that out, plenty of texture in the water looks nice as well, and that would have also started to blur out had I gone much slower. The other reason, of course, is that, you know, this all happened so quickly that I'd really, if I'd have started to mess around with neutral density filters and things like that at this point, then the shot would have been gone. So although my plans were to do some long exposures, you know, I saw the opportunity and just decided to make the image. So pretty much, you know, thinking quickly, captured the image and got it down, and I'm pleased that I was able to do that. There was a lot of contrast in the original, actually. To bring out the detail in the front of the boat that we see here, I increased the fill light a little in Lightroom. I also used the local adjustments brush in Lightroom to lighten up everything from the very light horizon of the water, except the boat, but everything from the horizon upwards, I lightened that up slightly in Lightroom. And this was required to bring out detail in the clouds, as they were very dark compared to the bright sunlight that was pouring through them. Al, who just played us in, will laugh when I say that I have recently bought Silver Effects Pro from Nick Software. I'd been resisting this for a while, or at least saying that I was going to hold off buying this for a while in the forum. But then Al said, okay, so we can expect a review of that next week then. The review didn't materialize yet, but I actually broke down recently and bought the whole suite. So I'm sure Al will be sniggering to himself at the moment. I'll go into that, the suite a little bit, the Nick Software suite a little bit more in a future podcast. But for now, I just wanted to say that I used the Silver Effects Pro plugin to do this black and white conversion as a final step after all of the sort of, you know, local adjustments and things that I did. Although I could have done something similar in Lightroom, I love the overall feel of the images that I'm getting from converting in Silver Effects Pro. And the control that you have over the process is very nice. Overall, I think the image is relatively well balanced and worth spending a few minutes on, which is exactly a few minutes longer than I usually spend on my images in post-processing. From this same place, I moved the camera, the tripod, just to the right very slightly to line up that center line, and then I shot the next image, which is number 2318. Now, this has a very different feel from the last one, as you can see. I did a long exposure here. Both this and the last image, the last previous image, were shot at f11, but compared to the 320th of a second that I shot the last image at. Here, the exposure was 30 seconds. I also dropped the ISO from 100 to 50 to help me get this slow, but I had coupled the ND8 neutral density filter with an ND400, and this gives me almost 12 stops of darkness, exactly 12 stops of darkness, actually. The ND8 gives me 3 stops, and the ND400 is 9 stops. Actually, I think almost is perhaps right. I believe I read somewhere that the ND400 is 8 and 2 thirds of a stop or something like that. But on B&H it says it's 9, so let's just go with that. What would have, you know, what I would have got, it would have worked out to a 40-second exposure, including the extra stop from the ISO change. But I didn't want to spend the time to set up, you know, to get out the self-timer remote switch and to set the 40 seconds and so. So I went with the longest exposure that I could set on the camera, which is 30 seconds, which from 320th of a second is actually 11 and a half stops, you know, slower than that first shutter speed. And that's including the ISO change from 100 to 50. I wasn't thinking about this too much at the time, but the clouds were, you know, sort of thinning out now. So the sky was burning out a little bit more than the previous shot. In hindsight, this all worked out pretty well for me. Again, I did a little bit of post-processing to bring out the detail in the front of the boat and had to use a little highlight recovery to bring out some detail in the blown out highlights around the sun a little bit more, just to bring that under control. But the sky was brighter in general, so there was no local adjustments needed for this shot. Just a bit of slider work in Lightroom before I again converted to black and white in SilverFX Pro. In comparison to the first shot we looked at, you'll notice that the water has smoothed over to lose most of its texture. And, you know, especially on the right side there where the sun is hitting the water more. And I really do like this effect. Again, kind of like with the long exposures that we're doing of the moving water and the waterfalls, I'm just really liking this silky effect that you can get with long exposures and water. The clouds here also are sort of flowing out of the top of the frame because of the long exposure, which I also find quite pleasing. The only colour image that we're going to look at today is from the afternoon of the following day, as I'd pretty much worked the mountain stream as much as I wanted on the first afternoon and then the morning of the second day, and I decided that it was time to be a slightly better husband and just relax with my wife, and you know, we decided to drive back to the hotel and went for a ride on one of the pleasure boats that we saw in the last image. And I wasn't expecting to get anything great photographically, but I did take my camera with just a 24 to 70 millimeter f/2.8 and the 70 to 200 f/2.8L lenses. And I was pleasantly surprised to see the scene that I captured as image number 2316. The plankton in the lake give the water a beautiful cobalt blue colouring when the sun hits it, and with the sun also on this line of trees on the shore, and then the dark mountains and heavy detailed sky in the background, it all seemed to work here. I had the camera set to f8 for 125th of a second, and that was at ISO 100. I was far enough from the shore that f8 was going to give me plenty of depth of field, but I wanted to keep my shutter speed high enough to stop camera shake, as I was shooting from a moving boat with a certain amount of vibration coming from the engines as well. It turned out pretty well, and the bright foreground and the somewhat foreboding sky, and then that slightly lighter patch above the mountains. I was happy that I'd taken the camera out for our relaxing excursion, and I managed to not take too many more photos until the evening. And that's when I shot the next two images that we're going to take a look at. On the way back to the hotel after the cruise around the lake, I noticed a wooden jetty that we can see in image number 2319. I actually came back later to shoot the image that we're looking at when it was getting dark. But as I studied the jetty, it became obvious that it was not publicly accessible. It was out the back of a small cafe on the side of the lake. We decided to go in for a coffee, slightly ulterior motives here as well, of course. And when we'd had the coffee and I was paying the lady, I asked what time the cafe was open until. And the lady that runs it says from 5 a.m. until 10 p.m. And, you know, she basically lives on the second floor, and so basically it's open all the time that she's awake. I asked if it would be okay to photograph the jetty later, and she said it would not be a problem. After dinner, I went back, and we were allowed to go out the back and start photographing the jetty. I made a number of exposures, and the first half of which were using the ND400 for that 9 stops of darkness before it actually got dark. This was this first shot that we're looking at was a 2.5 minute exposure. The water is almost totally textureless, and the clouds have blurred nicely as they sort of crept over the top of the mountains on the opposite shore of the lake. There's still a little detail in the trees at this point because there's still enough light. And that adds a little bit of texture back, and the sharpness and clarity of the jetty itself is very nice here. Luckily, although this is a wooden jetty, its foundations are wooden pillars that are sort of firmly set into the bed of the lake. So it's not a floating jetty. It's not sort of floating up on the water as I'd kind of expected. Had it been floating, it would have been constantly moving, even if not to the eye. So there would have quite possibly not been a picture here, at least not one with a 2.5 minute exposure. Having gotten a nice shot in the landscape aspect, I turned the camera on its side for a portrait aspect shot, as we can see in image number 2320. This was shot at 7:40 p.m. and the sun had gone down almost 40 minutes earlier, so it was pretty much dark now. I'd removed the ND filter as I no longer needed it, and I still needed a 90 second exposure for this at f11. I was using the 24-70mm f2.8 lens, by the way. Noticed here that how the jetty intersects perfectly with, you know, perfectly spaced from the bottom corners. Through the viewfinder, I'd gotten this close and then fine-tuned the composition almost blindly, you know, moving the camera around almost blindly based on feedback from the first few images, you know, as I looked at them on the LCD. It was also perfectly straight because I used a spirit level in the flash shoe. I use one of those pretty much all the time when I'm using a tripod. I didn't have to do any cropping or rotation in post-processing to get the image like this, so I was pretty happy with the alignment and composition. As it was pretty much totally dark at this point, the mountains have lost their detail. There is some interest, some light that was still in the sky, giving a little bit of interest with the flowing clouds. And the light is pretty much now in the middle of nautical twilight, so, you know, it's very pretty much dark. This image also has some light from the cafe itself too, as the lady had now turned the lights on. So the light from the cafe was pretty warm, and that was reaching out as far as the jetty. And, you know, compared to the cold natural light outside, it was, you know, it was pretty warm, but this actually helped me to make the jetty stand out in the black and white conversion, again done using Silver Effects Pro. This image is about as close to Michael Kenner's work as I think I'd like to get as well. You know, his work is beautiful, but I really don't want to emulate it. But with the jetty and the smooth water, as well as the black and white conversion, I was very much aware that I was getting close to emulating his work here. And, you know, this scene just cried out for this sort of exposure and processing, though, so I allowed myself a little bit of indulgence. But that's really it for today. You know, I just wanted to go through and sort of finish off this series and, let you sort of in on a few of the things that I'd done behind the scenes here to make these images. You know, they're some fast, normal exposures and then some pretty long ones as well. And so, you know, it takes a little bit of thinking about these things a little bit more. So hopefully these the things that we've touched on today will help you if you try to do some long exposures yourself or shoot in similar conditions. So a slightly shorter one today, but like I say, I thought I'd follow up on last week and basically sort of, you know, rounding off the images from the same trip. There's a link in the show notes to view all 26 images posted from the trip if you're interested. Again, the blog has the full transcript and images if you're interested in taking a look. And you can also play the audio right from the blog post as well. Thanks again to our sponsor, WebSpy. To find out more about WebSpy products, visit webspy.com/MBP and use that discount code MBPWSY for a 10% discount on all purchases. You can find me on Twitter, Flickr, Facebook, as well as my blog and photography forum at martinbaileyphotography.com. All links are on the blog there, and you know, just if you're interested, swing by and check out you know, all of the stuff that we've got there. And I'm trying to post one extra blog post a week at least. Didn't manage it last week because I've been reinstalling my computer with a version of one of the RC versions of Windows 7. I've got a couple of drafts that I'm going to finish up and get posted soon as well. So, you know, other than just the audio that we have here, there are some text blog posts that you can take a look at. I'll be back next week, though, with another edition of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. And in the meantime, you just have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye. The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a proud member of the Photocast Network. Find this and other great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.